or his chosen favorites sent it to us.
Involving Yuki is an attack on our family, Ling said. Whoever sent it knows that Stenson would go after the resident Shadow Magi first.
Which means someone of power has a friend they could use to help hurt us,
Roshana added. Shun, Jen growled. Has to be.
It's the most probable answer, but not a given, Mindy said. We've been angering other clans. Han might want Yuki killed too. It would be a late slap at her father on top of that.
And we'd never find out,
Yukiko said as she exhaled slowly.
Greg, it's too big a risk the way you want to do it. If you still want to do something, then we send a far more oblique message. It'd be up to them to figure it out. The Magi will take at least a day to figure out when it's best to strike, and that gives Stenson time to infer the meaning and act. With it being muddled, it won't point to us directly, protecting us if it becomes known that a message of any kind was sent. It could be the other embassies who felt something was off, more so if we have someone like May write the few words needed. She'd never ask why, and the handwriting, when examined, isn't anywhere in a record.
Gregory nodded slowly.
Do I tell Rudit about our plan?
Yukiko's lips pursed for a moment before she nodded.
Only if she uses her office enchantments. Otherwise, no. It's too big a risk to even hint at.
Okay, Gregory exhaled. Pull it down, Ling. We have meditation to do.
Ling turned off her enchantment, checking the core that had powered it.
It's getting better, but I can still improve it. I'll work on it around the guard bracelet enchantment.
How's that coming? Gregory asked.
Slowly. It's complicated, but I'm making headway.
The family fell silent as they lapsed into meditation. They all had things to think over with the news of an assassination. Gregory took the seat across from Rudit.
It's about to be a busy day, ma'am.
Well, that doesn't sound good, Gregory, Rudit said. Tell me what's happening.
You receive an order shortly, but we should wait for it to arrive and for Yuki to be summoned before we delve into it. It'll require the office to be secure after it gets here.
How long until the order arrives? And is Yukiko in Makar's office?
A minute, and yes.
Go get her,
Rudit sighed. Busy day indeed. Gregory returned with Yukiko, and they took up the seats across from Rudit. A half minute later, there was a chime, and Rudit sighed again. She pulled her ring off as she went to a spot behind her desk. Pushing the ring into the wall, a small cubby opened, and she pulled out a scroll before closing it. Returning to her seat, she examined the seal.
It's an official order. It came in the correct way, triggering the enchantment that confirms it was official.
She touched the scroll with her ring, and it broke the seal. Immediately putting her ring on her desk to secure her office, she unfurled the scroll. Gregory and Yukiko sat calmly while Rudit read. They knew the basics of what the order was and what the outcome would be.
In order for Yukiko Pettit to carry out an assassination on any member of the Krogheim Council,
Rudit sighed.
Idiocy of the highest order. It will tarnish my standing when I refuse this, but I'm not about to let your life be forfeit when Stenson comes to ask questions. Now, as we all knew this was coming, why is Yukiko already here, and why did you ask for me to wait for the order to arrive? The Whispering Darkness clan will have a Master Magi here in a day or two to take over,
Gregory explained.
They will kill Elder Lily Daughter, and then Stenson comes to test Yuki, which she will pass.
But that isn't all of it, Rudit said when Gregory paused.
We have a plan to muddy things and make the assassin's task harder, possibly even changing his target.
Yukiko joined in.
How?
I've looked at the future of our plan already, Gregory said. Nothing can be traced back to us, but some of our ardent detractors will blame us regardless. A simple note that hints at shadows moving is left where Stenson will find it. It will prompt him to be wary and set some of their own shadow priests to guard the council. This pits two Aether users against each other. The Magi gets wounded and escapes, the priest dies, and the Elder is severely wounded, living or dying in equal measure across all the futures. It's that close a thing for them. It still accomplishes the mission of reminding Kroga that the Magi have other means besides war.
When Stenson comes, he tests me, even though I am unwounded. After all, Mindy might have healed me. I'll be innocent, and he'll accept that after he pressures me, which you allow to prove goodwill. He'll also push you to know if you knew. You'll lie about it, which he'll know, but with me having passed, it tells him you refuse to give me the order and puts the blame elsewhere, clearing the embassy staff.
I see, Rudit murmured. Why send the message? Why not just let them kill the elder?
Because it's wrong, Gregory said softly. Petrickson is the elder chosen after the message. Lily Daughter has the best shadow on her, as Kroga knows anyone with Yurtic blood would be the first target. That's why she would have been the target. It's entirely because of her heritage.
You can't help yourself, can you? Rudit snorted softly. Protecting those the Empire oppresses seems to be in your blood, Gregory.
It's in more than his blood, Rudit,
Yukiko said softly.
You know that, don't you?
Rudit sat back, looking at Yukiko intently. Put the knives away, Yukiko. I'll never be a threat to your family, especially not Gregory. Gregory jerked, but he didn't see any knives or shadow blades.
What?
Yukiko bowed her head.
I accept your words, ma'am. I am sorry.
Yuki?
She loves you a great deal, and was testing if she would have to remove me to protect you and the others, Rudit said to answer Gregory. Her resonance faded from trusted to wary in that moment. Closing her eyes, Rudit exhaled. I'll never admit what I think is true, even if it looks obvious to me. I do envy you the love and closeness your family has. To have a wife so devoted that she would plan to remove a Grand Master as a Magus, not for herself, but for you? Vera has blessed you as surely as Aether has. Gregory focused on Yukiko.
Yuki?
She's right. I'm sorry, my soul. I've told you before that I'll do everything I can to protect the family. I needed to know, truly know, if she was being honest.
You already pushed your resonance to test the truth? Rudit asked with raised eyebrows.
In a way.
Yukiko sidestepped her question.
Do you accept our plan to hinder the assassination?
Will it come back to us at all? Rudit asked Gregory, pulling him from his conflicted moment.
No. Stenson figures out who sent the letter, but doesn't publicly acknowledge it. He hints a little to make it clear that he knows and is grateful to whomever it had been.
Very well. I will remove myself from knowing more. It's up to you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am,
Yukiko said. Both of them bowed to her. Dismissed. The pair left, nodding to Makar as they went. Yukiko had to get the message that May had already written for them delivered quickly. Gregory went with her, and as they closed on her office, he asked softly,
Yuki, would you have really attacked her?
Yukiko pulled him into the room gently, then closed the door and held him.
I'm sorry, my soul. If she was a threat, I would have worked at removing her before she hurt us. The knowledge of your true soul is dangerous for anyone outside of our family to know. I trust Dia and Bishop. We've known them longer, and Bishop watched over you for years, if unknowingly at the time. That leaves Stenson and Rudit as those who at least think they know. I can't even begin to challenge Stenson, but Rudit, if I planned it right, I could remove her.
Gregory held her tightly as he exhaled slowly.
Please, my heart, don't move on those ideas without talking to me. I trust Rudit. She's shown how far she's willing to go for us, and has done so again now.
If I'm with you, I'll ask about it first,
Yukiko whispered, then trembled slightly.
Are you upset with me?
Gregory tilted her face up, seeing the vulnerability in her eyes.
No, you would have to do far, far worse to make me upset with you. Even if you attacked her there and then, I'd have been bewildered, but if you explained it to me, I'd accept it. We know you can balance things better than anyone else. Even Rudit does.
Gregory paused.
I wonder if she'd have let you if you acted against her.
Yukiko stilled, and she tried to find an answer to that. Gregory held her silently while her brain worked on it,
But then they both tried talking at once.
She would...
Sheetala.
They cut off and met each other's eyes before laughing.
Yes,
they said together. Yukiko pushed up to kiss him lightly.
I'll apologize to her later.
For the best. It does prove that you can almost do as good as foresight.
Gregory chuckled.
I'm not that certain, but I'll take the compliment, my soul.
Let's get the message sent before people start watching us.
That would be for the best.
Yukiko agreed. Chapter 55. When Gregory checked his foresight 7 days later, he found Stenson coming to the embassy.
It happened last night, he said the moment he let foresight drop. Stenson will be here after breakfast to speak with Rudit and Yuki.
It goes like you saw before?
Yukiko asked.
Yes, he pressures you, but you stay calm and answer him truthfully. He doesn't understand how you can remain calm, but he can feel the truth in your words. You do skirt things, giving him a moment of worry until he realizes what you're actually skirting around.
Rudit allows it? Jen asked.
After insisting that we respect Krogian customs, Gregory said. Her family is allowed to be with her during questioning. All of you are standing behind Yuki and me. As long as none of us try to stop him, it resolves things. That future didn't look likely, but it's something I needed to mention.
We just stand there and listen?
Clover asked.
Yeah, the fact that we all come seems to impress him, though it's hard to read him sometimes.
A single Magi spouse coming to their spouse's defense would be unusual, Ling said. All of us being there is highly unusual, much like our family.
But it would be common in Kroga,
Roshana added.
Which helps prove that we aren't like most Magi, showing again why we deserve their respect.
Mindy smiled.
A couple of days from now, they'll lift the security cordon from the embassy, Gregory said. We'll be able to restart the routine we'd had with the honor duels and leave the grounds for magic training.
Oh, I'll be glad to see the port more often again,
Roshana said.
Will the duels go well?
Jen asked. They won the war and might be overeager from that. But if it's common knowledge that an elder was assassinated or an attempt was made, it could be bad.
I'd have to check, but I'd expect a little more aggression from the duels just from national pride. Petrickson survived, if barely, and the council won't let out that an attempt was made. It'd create enough of a frenzy against the Magi, and the new agreement would be broken if it came out. That's one thing I tell Stenson about today.
That'll help, but we'll have to be ready for the eagerness because of the war, at least.
Which means more healing for me,
Mindy said.
I should be fine.
We can refill your ring every night,
Yukiko said.
Some of us will have aether left over, and if needed, we can use other means.
Before anyone else could say more, a couple of spots touched their resonances, both coming from darker parts of the room.
We have meditation to do before breakfast,
Clover blurted out.
I'm working on resonance today.
Yes, we mustn't neglect our training.
Yukiko smiled. Gregory didn't lapse into his cavern. Instead, he just kept in light meditation so he was aware of the room. He could feel Clover, Ling, and Roshana flexing their resonances. His other wives were likely working on aspects of the resonant mind. He kept his resonance near the aether spots, not directly so as not to startle the spies if they were also on the spirit path. When the chime of the hour came, the spies left just as the family started to leave the room. When they reached the dining room, the lieutenants were waiting near the table.
Sir,
Davis asked.
Anything we should know today?
The High Priest will be here just after breakfast. Please escort him to Makar's office.
Yes, sir. You aren't going to greet him?
I'll be speaking with Rudit when he gets to the gate.
Yes, sir.
The three men saluted before Max and Jason went to eat while Davis headed out of the room to inform the gate guards.
Good morning,
Poca smiled as she served the table.
We hope you all have a good day.
Dot added.
The day will be fine,
Yukiko smiled.
Are you getting nervous about the year coming closer to the end, Dot?
Oh, I'm excited, but a little nervous,
Dot blushed lightly.
We're hoping he isn't a Magi. No offense.
None taken, Jen chuckled. We'll hope for you too. He's the oldest of the squires. I know the others will be curious if he'll stay on as a squire or not.
He can if he wants to, Gregory said. Nothing says a squire can't be an adult. It's normally just used to help boys learn the tasks, so they can then step into the military or magi guard.
But your unit has a spot open, and Jen's has a couple too,
Clover said. I'd take him if you wanted,
Jen nodded. It's months away, but I'll see what his thoughts are on it, Gregory said. We're all looking forward to the solstice for many reasons.
Merry and Acrogian. We all heard about the arrangement, sir,
Poca said.
She's the one who visited before, right?
Furka, Mindy nodded. She has heritage like most of us. We're all looking forward to her joining the family.
Roshana smiled.
I didn't mean...
It's okay, Poca. Ling cut Poca off. None of us took it the wrong way. She'll be welcomed and loved like all of us have been. She fits our relationship perfectly. Honestly, if her brother hadn't arranged the marriage, it would have been difficult.
Right, sorry,
Poca said softly, bowing her head.
I was a little worried, is all.
Which is normal, Gregory said. Thank you and the others for the meal.
Yes, sir,
Dot said. She nudged her sister, so they hurried off to the lieutenant's table. Clover giggled softly.
They mean well. We can assure them it really is fine later.
But for right now, we eat, then focus on our own problems today,
Yukiko said. Gregory paused beside Makar's desk.
Stenson will be here in a moment. Rudit will ask for Yukiko to be summoned at that point. After a couple of minutes, she'll summon the rest of my family.
I'll make sure the squires are ready to summon them.
They're all in their offices waiting.
Ha, easy to arrange then.
Makar smiled slightly.
Is it going to be bad, Gregory?
No, it might be unpleasant, but it'll be fine. In a few days, we'll no longer be stuck inside the embassy either.
Oh, that's good. I might have to ask Mother for another day off once things are settled again.
May would like that,
Gregory smiled. He knocked on Rudit's door and then entered.
Gregory, come sit,
Rudit said.
Ma'am, Stenson will be here momentarily. I need to brief you first,
Gregory said. Rudit placed her ring on her desk.
Let's get to it then.
Ambassador High Priest Stenson is here to speak with you,
Makar announced shortly after Rudit removed the ring from the desk.
Bring him in and summon Yukiko.
Yes, ma'am.
Makar bowed, then moved out of the way.
High Priest, she will see you.
Stenson walked in, but his pace slowed when he saw Gregory standing beside Rudit's desk.
I see I am expected. As you've already sent for the Magi, I need to speak to.
We should adjourn to the sitting area,
Rudit said, standing up. Pettit informed me that you would want to speak to his wife today. Stenson studied Gregory for a moment before he took one of the chairs in the sitting area. Rudit went to another while Gregory sat on a sofa.
Is Pettit going to sit in with us?
I see no reason to dismiss him, do you?
As he likely already knows why I need to speak with his wife, no.
Stenson looked mildly upset.
Right now, my tolerance for Magi is not high, so please keep that in mind.
Let's wait for Yukiko to arrive,
Rudit said.
Pettit, would you please?
Gregory set out tea and snacks from his ring.
We have a black tea and some small pastries, sir. Would you like milk or sugar?
Neither, thank you.
Gregory set out cups for the three of them and one for Yukiko. He then set up a plate for Rudit and Yukiko, as both would like some snacks in a little bit. Finished, he sat back with his cup. Yukiko didn't keep them waiting. When the squire reached her office, she used her magic to appear in front of Makar's desk. She bowed to him, then knocked on the office door and entered.
Come sit, Yukiko. High Priest Stenson has some questions for you.
Even if this does feel like a play now,
Stenson said tightly.
My husband let me know that you'd be coming, sir,
Yukiko said calmly.
As any loving spouse would, if they could. We are taking this as seriously as you are.
Stenson's resonance filled the room and wrapped Yukiko tightly when she sat down.
I doubt you are, Magi.
Yukiko gave him a pleasant smile as she picked up her cup.
I assure you that I am. If what you think happened is true, then I'm dead. If we can convince you that I had no part in it, then I'm fine. I value my life highly, so yes, I am taking this very seriously.
Stenson's brow furrowed. Yukiko should be sweating or straining, but she sat there with a polite smile, sipping her tea. Her words were truthful, which caused him further concern.
"Tightly wrapping her in your residence could be seen as an act of aggression, High Priest," Rudit said. "However, to prove we mean no ill will to Kroga, I will allow it. I will insist that her family be able to support her, however. It isn't how the Empire does things normally, but as we've shown you before, we respect Kroga's customs."
Stenson sat back, finally picking up his tea while staring at Yukiko.
"Yes. Go ahead."
She looked unbothered, but he thought some time would help her feel the strain. It took a few minutes for the others to be summoned, but they were soon standing behind the small sofa that Gregory and Yukiko sat on. Stenson looked over each of them for a few seconds after they arrived. There was a brief flicker of respect on his face before it vanished.
"Now that everyone is here,"
Stenson grunted, setting his empty cup down.
"Yukiko Pettit, you are a Shadow Magi, correct?"
"I am."
"Did you leave the embassy last night?"
"No, sir. I was with my family from dinner until we separated this morning to do our jobs."
Stenson's lips twitched, but he looked at Mindy.
"Since you are here, healer, when did you last heal your wife?"
"Yesterday afternoon,"
Mindy said, swaying slightly as she grabbed the sofa. Stenson's resonance was heavy on her.
"Since we've been stuck inside the embassy walls, I do daily checkups on everyone."
"When did you last heal her wounds?"
"A few days ago, when Jen failed to check an attack in time during a spar,"
Mindy whispered, Roshana and Ling helping support her now. Stenson pulled his resonance off Mindy and put it back on Yukiko.
"You didn't attack Elder Petrickson last night?"
"No, I would have refused to do so. Even as an assistant ambassador, I would still be liable for murder or attempted murder. If I did what you suggest, my life would be forfeit."
Stenson was upset, but also relieved. He'd found it hard to believe any of the Pettits would have attempted to assassinate Petrickson, but he had to be sure.
"Did you know about the assassination attempt last night?"
"I didn't know he was attacked last night,"
Yukiko said.
"High Priest, my family has only tried to foster goodwill. Your favorite is going to marry into our family and will be cherished as surely as any of us are by each other. We did not have a hand in the attack. Not all shadows belong to me."
Stenson sat back, his resonance leaving her.
"I accept your words as true."
"For which I am grateful," Rudit said. "I would defend my juniors with my life, if needed. Clan is as close to family as many Magi get, and our clan is more like family than any other in the Empire."
Stenson's gaze went to Rudit for an uncomfortably long moment before he stood up.
"Ambassador, thank you for being understanding. There will be no rumors of the attempt on Petrickson's life. That would only cause more strife between the honorable Magi here and the city. I will be lifting the security on the embassy in a few days. We will allow the duels again if you do. Also,"
he turned to Roshana,
"you can visit the harbor again whenever you want, Magi."
Roshana gave a small bow.
"I've missed training with the others and look forward to doing so again."
"Pettit?"
Rudit sighed when all their heads turned toward her.
"Gregory, walk the High Priest out."
"Yes, ma'am."
The two men left the room, with Gregory giving Makar a nod as they went past. The guards on duty stepped aside, saluting the pair. Stenson was quiet for a little bit before he spoke up.
"I disliked being surprised by your foresight. It reminds me of Linus when he had to uphold the Empire."
"I'll always protect my wife, sir. The ones I have now, and those that join me after today."
"That does help some,"
Stenson said.
"I would have had to kill her if she was the assassin. You know that, don't you?"
"Yes, sir. Which is why we'd do our best to avoid that."
"I thought so. Pettit, I doubt things will ever be easy for your family. Seeing you all rally to Yukiko That soothes my worry for Virka. Do I have your word that she will be treasured the same way they all are?
On my aether, sir.
That I can accept. The wedding will be something to remember. I hope there are no other problems between now and then.
Me too, sir.
Chapter 56. It took 3 days, but the lockdown finally lifted off the embassy. With it being lifted, the other ambassadors sent word that they would visit in the future, minus Boldoon's ambassador. That had everyone in the embassy ready to get back into their pre-war routines. They were also eager to take their days off in the city again. The next day was when Gregory met with Greta's mother, Vexa Breckadaughter, and Priest Haraldson at the gate.
Good morning to you both. Gregory bowed to them, with Mindy doing the same. I'm glad to see the honor duel starting again.
Not as eager as this lot is, Vexa chuckled.
Petits, I'm glad to see you both well,
Haraldson said.
I will be with you today to make sure people understand that this is sanctioned. Emotions are high with news of the victory over the Empire at Bloodrock beginning to spread.
It'll be fine for today, if a bit energetic, Gregory said.
No one will leave injured, Mindy added.
We are glad that a healer with your skill and power will be there to help,
Haraldson said.
Jen and myself have been honing our men's skills over the break, Gregory said. The hopefuls might have a trying time today.
Ah, we'll show you, Magi,
one of the men shouted. There wasn't any anger in his voice, just bravado.
Very well. Shall we?
Gregory grinned as he led Mindy and the men out of the embassy. Haraldson fell into step beside Gregory while Vexa took the lead for the group.
It is odd to be friendly with a Magi less than a month after the end of a major raid on your land.
Would it be odd if it was two Krogian towns who raided each other? Gregory asked.
A little, but not as different as this.
True, especially with the other events of recent days. But as my family and clan have proven, we're not like the rest.
All too true, or else we wouldn't be doing this today.
A moment of silence fell between them before Mindy said,
It's nice to be outside the embassy again. I'm looking forward to having a day off so our family can enjoy the local businesses we visited before.
Haraldson chuckled.
I've heard that you had the small hove at Simple Fair.
Mindy went a little green at the memory of Gregory eating an eyeball. That made Haraldson chuckle more, as it was clearly the reaction he expected.
The Smolohove eye wasn't that good, but the tongue was okay. Jen actually enjoyed it the most, Gregory said. I was curious, since we've done it, is the eyeball really a delicacy?
Not as such,
Haraldson replied, still wearing a grin.
Smolohove is typically a poor man's food, but we delight in serving it to the unknowing. It is typically eaten first, as cold Smolohove is unpleasant.
Mindy swallowed some bile before walking ahead of them quickly.
Pardon me.
She didn't take seeing me eat the eye well,
Gregory said when she left them.
You ate it?
Haraldson asked.
Yes, while Jen cracked the jaw and cut out the tongue.
Who had the ear?
I don't think any of us did.
The eye and ear are best when hot. Did your other wives at least try some of it?
We all did. Even Mindy. She had some of the tongue once Jen approved of it. That was it for her. Though we did have a veritable feast because we were sampling a lot of food that evening.
I'm trying to picture 7 Magi all at a table in Simple Fare. And it's not working. The clientele, if they didn't know you, would have been unaccepting.
Haraldson spoke a little slowly as he tried to frame his words without causing insult.
We went dressed as locals. It was a birthday celebration, and we didn't want to cause trouble. Learning local customs has been something we've enjoyed.
Gregory chuckled as he paused for a second.
Even if Mindy didn't see eye to eye.
Haraldson laughed at that, and the two men walked along, chatting amiably. To those who saw the priest and Magi, it was shocking. The country had just taken a city from the Empire, and yet here was a Magi laughing and chatting with one of the council. The interaction raised Gregory's and his family's status to those who saw it. That rumor would spread further, raising the honor of the Pettit family with the locals. The fighting arena, or pit, since it was a sunken space, was almost deserted. As the group reached the arena and Vexa selected fighters to pair off, a crowd slowly began to form. Word of the duels being on again spread like wildfire in a dry forest, and by the end of the second duel, the ring around the pit was packed, just as it had been in the past. The crowd was mostly behaved, but as with all crowds, there's always one asshole who just can't help themselves.
How's it feel to lose a city, Magi? High Champion Iverson drove even your general off.
I suspect the same as when the Empire took Bloodrock from Kroga last time, Gregory said. For myself, my wives, and clan, we accept that conflict with Kroga will continue until Aether's return.
Aether won't help you. He'll be appalled at what you allow Magi to do,
the man snarled.
You best hope he or Krog don't return soon, Magi.
Haraldson cleared his throat.
We are not here to debate. The duels are what brings us here. These are honor duels that the ambassadors of the Empire allow for our youth and young adults.
Thank you, sir,
Gregory told Haraldson, then turned to face the angry man in the crowd.
I suspect you're right. Aether or Krog will be unhappy with how things are today, but it isn't my place to speak for the gods. I am merely Aether's guard, waiting for his return.
That took all the wind out of the man's sails as he stared at Gregory, who just plainly refused to argue with him. His friends did everyone a favor by dragging him away before he could upset the priest. Haraldson sighed as he spoke softly.
There always seems to be someone who can't just accept their good fortune.
That's people everywhere. Some only find delight in a perceived enemy's misfortune. I've come to accept that since leaving my village.
I've been curious about where you are from. Will you tell me about it?
Alturas? Sure. I love it, and the people who call it home.
That was a good first day of honor duels, Vexa said. Thank you for all you do, healer.
It's my calling, Mindy beamed.
I'm surprised you stayed with us while she healed afterward, Gregory said.
I was making sure no idiots accosted you. Haraldson had to go, so I might as well stay. I could blacklist anyone stupid enough to cause trouble.
Vexa shrugged.
Luckily, we had no idiots.
The people being healed might have objected, too. After all, we'd have had to leave if there was trouble.
There is that.
Vexa fell silent for a moment before clearing her throat.
Gregory, is my daughter safe?
Gregory bowed his head at the question.
I don't know. I haven't looked for her future, Vexa.
Will you? Please?
It was asked hesitantly and softly.
Let me get back to the embassy, and then yes, I will.
Aether bless you.
Hold the blessing. I won't feel like I deserve it if it's bad news.
No. You deserve it regardless. I'm being selfish to ask you to look at her future for me. Even if it isn't good, at least I will know.
The rest of the walk back to the embassy was quiet, as no one said anything. The tension at Greta's unknown safety weighed heavily on her mother, and it even pressed on Gregory and Mindy. Greta had been a good person they considered a friend. If she'd died during the war, it would sadden all of them. Gregory paused just inside the embassy grounds as the guards shut the gate. Vexa lingered on the other side, the guards having been told to let her stay there. Taking a deep breath, he looked for the future of Greta Vexadaughter. After a few minutes, he exhaled slowly as he had his answer.
She'll return with the raiding party alive, but with scars. I find out when she's the one to suddenly be here instead of you. There are no duels the day before she arrives. You two spend that day together instead.
Vexa exhaled a shaky breath as she swayed in place. One of the guards put his hand on her shoulder gently to help steady her. Giving the guard a thankful nod, Vexa turned a soft smile to Gregory.
Thank you, Gregory Pettit. May Aether, Krog, and all the other gods bless you.
They already did with my family and friends, Vexa. I count your daughter among that number. She'll be back with the others, The city will celebrate their triumphant return the same day she comes to lead the duels again.
Tears trickled from Vex's eyes, but she wore a proud smile.
Good. Good. Thank you again.
Gregory watched her walk away, his own eyes wet, but no tears spilling over. Mindy took his hand, gently guiding him away. He gave her a trembling smile, getting a loving one in return.
You did the right thing, my heart,
Mindy murmured.
I know seeing a mother's love causes you distress. Come on, let's go clean up, and then we'll find one of our wives to cuddle.
Thank you, my heart,
Gregory whispered. He took deep breaths to try centering himself again. Chapter 57. The family retired to their room after another day. Gregory had Clover and Ling bookending him on the sofa after everyone had gotten settled.
It's been a week since the embassy reopened. I'm glad it's been calm.
Me too, Mindy said. The duels have been just like they were before, but no champions.
Because they all went with Ragnar, Jen said. It'll get busy again when they get back.
Yes, it will, Gregory exhaled. I'll feel bad if Ava comes to the duels again.
Because of her mother,
Clover said sadly.
There are some good things coming up, Ling said.
There are indeed,
Yukiko snickered.
Like Rishana's birthday in just a few days.
We've made the reservations for the baths already,
Rishana smiled brightly.
Do we want dinner at Simple Fare or at Mother Anna's kitchen?
Mindy asked.
For birthdays, maybe Simple Fare, especially if we can get them to hold a table for us again,
Yukiko suggested.
I think that would be best,
Ling agreed.
Oh, I like Anna's,
Clover said.
It might be busier than normal,
Jen said.
It's okay, Gregory said. I can check to verify her son survived. If she asks, I can tell her like I did Vexa.
Are you sure, Greg?
Rishana asked.
You were torn up that day.
A mother's love always touches him,
Yukiko said softly.
That's why I suggested Simple Fare. Greg, you don't need to push yourself into those moments.
I know,
Gregory said softly, but he looked at Rishana.
It's your birthday, and either is fine with me.
Rishana looked away before exhaling slowly.
I like the family feeling of Anna's.
That's where we go then, Gregory said. We can't make reservations, but I bet Anna will make sure we get a spot together. Give me a moment to check on Steph.
Everyone fell silent as Gregory looked at the future. When he let go of his magic, he nodded.
He survived. Just like I told her, I did my best to make sure he did when giving foresight to the army, but we all know that things can change fast in battle.
I'll send her a message and ask about a table, as well as reassuring her about Steph,
Yukiko said.
She'll deliver the food herself,
Ling said.
She will,
Rishana agreed.
Anna will want to thank Gregory.
The days after that, we're filling in for Rudit for a couple of days,
Yukiko said.
This time, I'm the ambassador. I'll have Jen as my assistant one day and Rishana the other.
Rudit did that intentionally,
Clover said.
Spirit Lotus and Clearwind are both scheduled to come over then, even if she hasn't written them down on her schedule.
She didn't include them, so she can feign ignorance,
Ling chuckled.
She's building us up,
Mindy said,
making sure some of us get the experience of being a full ambassador.
Which makes me wonder if it's just another of her tests, Jen said.
Ooh, it could be,
Clover said.
Or she could be making sure we're ready for what comes after this posting,
Yukiko added.
You think some of us will be ambassadors again?
Ling asked.
It's possible, Gregory said. I'd say Yuki going to Buldoon isn't unheard of. With her history with the country, she'd be a good pick.
Right. Good point,
Clover nodded.
But still, from being an assistant in Kroga to an ambassador in Buldoon, that seems like a stretch,
Ling murmured.
Maybe she'll be an assistant again in Buldoon. I think that's more likely.
Fair point, Jen said. Greg could cheat and push that far ahead, but we all know the further ahead he looks, the more chance it ends up wrong.
We can wait on that. We still have years here, Gregory chuckled. Funny that we're considering it just because of Rudide and her tests.
True enough, our soul,
Yukiko smiled.
There's even more to look forward to this year, too,
Clover blurted out.
Like Virka!
It'll be interesting to see how she adapts to the family, especially with her still needing to handle her priestly duties for Kroka,
Roshana said.
She'll manage,
Yukiko smiled.
But she very well might leave in the morning and not get back until the evening.
Maybe I can go with her occasionally to learn more about healing here,
Mindy suggested.
I'm sure Lita would be happy to fill in for the duels.
Or we could schedule a day off for the duels now and again, Jen said. It wouldn't be bad to do that.
A good point. We'll eventually see people coming for a second or third time if we keep offering duels for our entire posting. Gregory chuckled. Besides the usual suspects who want to fight us a lot.
We still need to meet Virka's family, too,
Mindy reminded them.
Yuki, did we get something for them yet?
I have some ideas, but we can see about shopping on Roshana's birthday, maybe?
I'm fine with that.
Roshana smiled.
That sounds good to me, Ling said. Maybe we can visit one of the marketplaces and look around there.
Ooh, I want to do that,
Clover said eagerly.
We'll do that, Gregory chuckled as Clover bounced in place next to him.
I wouldn't put it past Father to visit sometime after the solstice,
Yukiko said.
Do you think Elsa will come with them?
Mindy asked.
I hope so, Gregory said.
It'd be good to see her, as well as Yuki's parents,
Ling said.
My father might move here by the solstice next year, too,
Mindy said.
I'm hoping he does.
We'd be eager to meet him,
Roshana said.
If he does, we'll have to ask Rudide for a day to show him the city,
Yukiko said.
Both of those are after this solstice, though, Gregory said. As much as we want them, we should look to the end of this year first.
May's excited for her dates with Makar again,
Clover said.
Which coincides with Rudide and him taking days off, Gregory chuckled. I'm fairly certain she took days off just for him to have the time easier.
She did mention wanting to visit the tea house, too,
Roshana said.
I wonder if she's trying to see if Makar and May have children.
They do, Gregory murmured softly. I looked ahead when Makar and May arranged things the first time. They'll have a child, and if things work out, then the child will be a Magi. Rudite will get her wish for a Magi child, even if they're her grandchild.
Clover said with a happy smile.
It's like all futures years ahead. Not exactly certain, but I hope it is.
It would be nice if it is, Ling said. Rudit's been good to us.
Ling, some music, please?
Yukiko asked, knowing she was sidetracking things. Ling was taken off guard by the request, but soon had her privacy enchantment up and running.
Is that a problem?
Rudit knows. Or at least suspects enough about Gregory. She's promised me she'll never be a threat to him. He made me promise not to remove anyone without talking to him first, too.
Rudite is solidly beside us, like Dia and Bishop,
Gregory said.
Stenson, he will be once Ragnar comes forward. Until then, I think he's doing his best.
That's worrisome, Jen said. Greg, I'm kinda with Yuki. If they're a threat, then maybe it'd be best to make sure they aren't.
But Rudite isn't a threat,
Mindy said.
I'm with Greg. We should speak to him first.
It's not a debate, Ling said softly. We follow our heart and soul. Yuki?
You are correct, Ling. I won't act without Gregory knowing unless it's unavoidable. He would be upset with me if I did.
Yukiko met Gregory's eyes.
My soul, I will beg for forgiveness, but if you aren't near and I think it's necessary, I will act.
Gregory exhaled slowly, then bowed his head to her.
I trust you, Yuki. You've led us to this happiness. If I'm not in the same city, I'd do my best to understand. I don't think I'd ever make you beg for forgiveness, either. At the most, I'd have you explain it to me.
Dia and Bishop are exempt, right?
Clover asked.
Yes,
Yukiko said.
I'm certain they're as sure as Rudite, if not more so.
Both of them had many chances during the academy to be a threat, but they only ever helped us.
Rudit's been doing the same,
Roshana pointed out.
Look at how she arranges for us to speak privately with the ambassadors. She's letting us show that we can hold the position ourselves.
That's a good point, Roshana, but I will remain wary of her for now.
We got pulled off topic of the pleasant things we're looking forward to. Like my birthday and my birthday present,
Mindy murmured, blushing deeply when everyone looked at her.
Darkness is as eager for that as you are, Gregory said. I can feel it.
He placed a hand over his core, which got them all nodding in understanding.
Maybe we should retire for the evening,
Yukiko smirked.
It's been a busy day for some of us already, but it'll be much busier for a few of you soon.
Clover jumped off the sofa and grabbed Gregory's hand.
This way, Greg!
Laughing, he let Clover pull him toward the bedroom. The others laughed along with him as they trailed their excited wife. The rest of the year would be busy, but their lives would always be full of love. Bloopers.
Greg will have to beat me in the arena to marry my sister. I haven't changed my mind on that point.
Brother, Verka said softly, but with a hint of anger. Don't do this.
Wait, Gregory cut in. What he's suggesting is for the best, Verka. I'd rather take some time to get to know you. I'll face him at the next festival. Before that day comes, please visit us often and let us sit and chat. My wives would likely feel better if you did too.
That's true, Verka smiled softly. But again, I repeat, that really doesn't have any bearing on whether or not you fight Ragnar for my hand. That just means you want to get to know me first. I feel like we need to take down the barrier where Ragnar gets to decide who I marry, because I'm a fucking god, and I get to decide who I marry, not my fucking brother. How about that? Anyway, I'm perfectly fine getting to know each other first. That seems like a reasonable thing to do. I'm perfectly okay with that.
I can recall him being so sad because of it. I don't remember the why, just his sorrow with having done it. It was the last dragon in the world, and then it took a grove of yuzu to purify his aether afterward.
Why was he called aether if our flames are aether? Did we call...
Ling started, cutting off when Gregory groaned and clutched his head. Ling just looks over and goes,
I'm sorry, Gregory, but can you please just suck it up? We all have questions that we want answered.
I know, Greg, stop being such a baby.
Greg buckled on the floor in tears and agony. Just, oh, Greg, fuck, just leave the room if you're going to be such a baby about it. Now, anyway, what did we call Aether before?
I hate you guys.
Oh, I was going to try that again.
On my aether, sir.
That I can accept. The wedding will be something to remember. I hope there are no other problems between now and then.
Me too, sir. But unfortunately, because you just said that sentence, there will definitely be problems before then now.
This has been Empire's Orders, Aether's Revival, Book 9. Written by Daniel Schinhofen. Performed by Andrea Parsnow. Copyright 2024 by Daniel James Schinhofen.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.